This morning we'd like you to turn with us to the 32nd chapter of Jeremiah, beginning with verse 6. Jeremiah 32:6. To give you a little background on this particular verse, the Babylonian army has now laid Jerusalem under siege. They've conquered the rest of the country. Everything outside of the walls of Jerusalem has now fallen to Babylon. Jerusalem is the last holdout. And Jeremiah has told the king Zedekiah that he ought to surrender to Babylon. He said, if you surrender, you can save a lot of bloodshed, because Babylon is going to conquer the city of Jerusalem. If you resist, it's only going to cost a lot of lives and bring the destruction of the city. But you can save the city being destroyed, and you can save a lot of lives by just surrendering. And because he was advocating the surrender to Babylon, he was accused of treason and placed in the dungeon. He is now under the custody of the king. He is in prison in the king's court. And that's where, in verse 6, he declares, and Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, behold, Hanameel, the son of Shallum, thine uncle, will come unto you, saying, buy thee my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is yours to buy it. So Hanameel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is yours, and the redemption is yours, buy it for yourself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. The thing that seemed to Jeremiah to be so strange when the Lord would say, buy the field that belongs to your uncle Shallum, was that his field had already been taken by the Babylonians. And the Babylonians were going to conquer them, and they were to remain in captivity for 70 years. Why should I use my good money to redeem a field that's already been captured and is going to remain there for 70 years, long after I'm gone? So he could not quite understand what God was saying to him. He questioned, is this God speaking to me? Now, later on, God revealed to him the reason to purchase it was to show the faith in God's promise that he was going to bring them back and they were going to be established in this land again. Show your faith in the promise that this land will again be inhabited by my people by purchasing this land that is already taken captive by the enemy. But here's another example where God spoke to man. Now in Hebrews, the first chapter, it begins, God, who at different times and in different ways spoke to our fathers by the prophets, recognizing that God does speak to man, but recognizing that God speaks to man in a variety of ways. And as we look at the ways by which God has spoken to man, we observe the many varieties of methods and ways by which God can speak to a person. As we read in the psalm today, God speaks to man in nature. For the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth shows his handiwork, and day unto day they are speaking. Night unto night, their voice is going forth, and it is a universal language, for there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Now, I don't care how God speaks to me, I always find it exceedingly exciting when God speaks to me. I love it. I love it when God speaks to me in nature. I love to take the dune buggy and drive on back into the hills at night, and then just turn off the lights, shut off the engine, and just sort of lean back and look up into that vast desert sky that's filled with millions of stars. And just looking into the vastness of space and looking at the constellations and the stars, God speaks to me. He declares His glory, His power, the vastness of His universe. And it's just an exciting experience there in the silence of the desert as the warm breeze just blows to listen to God speak through nature. I love to go down to the beach. I love to sit in the sand and watch the surf, to watch the seagulls and the sandpipers and the little crabs and the whole thing as I just again see the handiwork of God, and God speaks to my heart through nature. And it's always marvelous to enjoy the beauty of nature as God speaks to us of His power, of His creative genius. But God also speaks to man through His Word. David is speaking also in the 19th chapter of the Word of the Lord. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The commandment of the Lord is just, making wise the simple. And he's talking about the written Word of God. And God has spoken so many times through His Word in times past. Daniel said, I understood by the words of the book. And God still speaks through His Word today. In fact, this is the primary instrument through which God speaks to man. And it is a good place to begin to train your ear to hear the voice of God. I cannot tell you how many times when I have read a passage of Scripture that I have read previously 150 times or more. But suddenly, as I'm reading it, it's like I've never read it before. It's like I didn't know that verse was in the Bible. Isn't that interesting? Oh, beautiful! As God suddenly takes a Scripture and lets the Spirit just unfold its truth to my heart, and I see something in it that I've never seen before. And I think, that surely cannot have been there. Someone's added to this thing, because I know I've read that passage, but I've never seen that. And to have God just speak to me right out of His Word with fresh inspiration, new insight, and a greater understanding than I've ever known before. And that's always an exciting experience to me when I get a new insight into the Word. God speaks to us through His Word. In fact, no matter how God may speak to you through other media or agencies, it must always be checked by the Word. Now, God has spoken through angels, and if an angel should come and suddenly appear in bright shining array and say, thus saith the Lord, I have a message for you, and he begins to declare a message for you, that message would have to be weighed as far as its authenticity over against this. For Paul said, if I or an angel of God should come and preach any other message or gospel than what you've already received, let him be accursed. Paul speaks about those who are prophesying in the church, thus saith the Lord, and all, let one prophesy, but let the others judge, that is, judge to see if the Lord is really speaking or not. And what is the basis of the judgment for prophecy? The written word. Is it according to that which God has declared in the written word? And so God has spoken, and God will speak to you today through his word. And this is the primary instrument through which God will speak to you, and the place to really train your ear to hear the voice of God. But God has also spoken to man through dreams. We read of Joseph having dreams that had a prophetic kind of a significance of his brothers bowing down to worship him. Later on, we read of Daniel interpreting for Nebuchadnezzar the dream that related to the kingdoms that would rule over the earth in the future. And the scripture declares that in the last days, God would pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters would prophesy, and your young men would see visions, but your old men will dream dreams. So God speaks about it as a method by which in the last days he would speak to the older men. Now, I cannot honestly say that I have ever had a dream that had spiritual significance. Not that I am closed to that. I'm open if God wants to, and I'm surely getting to the age of life where I classify as an old man and can dream dreams. And if God wants to speak to me through this agency, I'm open. Now, it does seem that many dreams need sort of an interpretation. In other words, not always is the understanding extremely clear. Sometimes it's rather vague. I do not have the gift of interpretation of dreams. Now, a lot of times people come to me and relate some dream that they feel has spiritual significance, but I personally don't have the gift of interpretation of dreams either. So it's useless to come to me to try to understand your dreams. Most of my dreams up to this point are inspired by a late night hamburger with onions. Onions give technicolor to them. And a little bit of vividness, but I cannot honestly say that I've had dreams that had a spiritual overtone to them, that God has ever spoken to me by dreams. Another way by which God spoke to those in the Old Testament was through visions. Now, the word vision is a word that we use, but it means to see. But in a spiritual sense, it means to see into the spirit realm, things that are not normally seen by others. Now, you remember when in the Old Testament time, Elisha the prophet had a servant named Gehazi, and he came one morning and woke him up and said, "Oh, we've had it. The Syrians have surrounded the city." And Elisha didn't like being wakened up in the morning like that, and he just sort of rolled over and said, "God, open up his eyes so he can see the truth." And Gehazi went back outside, and he looked again at the Syrian army that was surrounding the city, and he saw the angels of the Lord totally surrounding the Syrian army. Now, there he had a vision. He saw into the spirit realm. He saw that the angels of the Lord were also there encamped around the army of the Syrians. Now, you look at it from the natural standpoint, and you say, "Oh, we've had it. We're surrounded by the enemy." You look at it with the spiritual insight, and you say, "Oh, they've had it. They're surrounded by the angels." You know, it all depends on how you're looking at a scene, whether you're looking at the physical or the spiritual aspects to a thing. And a vision is that ability to see into the spirit realm. Now, because the spirit realm is a timeless realm and is not limited by space, it is very possible for you to have a vision, and a vision is much like a dream, only you're awake and you begin to see these things, and it's very possible for you to have a vision of an event that is happening around the other side of the world. And you can begin to see and understand things that are going on far away. Or it is also possible, because it's a timeless zone, for your vision to be of things that are in the far distant future. Now, the next prophet we'll be studying after Jeremiah is Ezekiel. And it would seem that most of the time, God spoke to Ezekiel through visions. And he had some very interesting visions that were more or less outside of the time domain. For he had visions. The Lord took him to Jerusalem. He was in Babylon. Took him by the Spirit in a vision to Jerusalem. And he saw the gate of Jerusalem that faces towards the east, and it was shut, and it was sealed with great stones. And the Lord said, this has been sealed because it's for the prince. He's going to enter in by this gate. Well, you say, Solomon was the one who put the stones there and sealed that gate in the 14th century, or in 1425 or something. Well, that has nothing to do with the vision, because visions are outside of the time domain. So the Lord took him not only from Babylon to Jerusalem, but took him from 595 or 580 or whatever it was B.C. on out to 1400, or maybe out to the present day. When he looked at the wall, the stones were there and had shut the east gate. You go to there today and you see it just like Ezekiel saw it thousands of years before it was ever shut up that way. Because the spirit realm is a timeless realm. It's outside of our time domain. Again, the Lord said to Ezekiel, dig a hole through that wall. And he dug a hole through the wall, and this was in a vision. And when he got inside the wall, the Lord said, look around at the walls here. What do you see on the walls? He said, oh, all kinds of filthy pictures. My, this is horrible pornography. And the Lord said, I have allowed you to go inside of the minds of the leaders of my people. These are the things they are thinking. These are the thoughts that are in their mind. These filthy things that you see are actually the thoughts of their mind that you're beholding. So God can speak through visions. Paul the Apostle had a vision. A man of Macedonia was saying, come over and help us. Now it is interesting that Peter had a vision he thought was a dream. Herod had stretched forth his hand against the church and had James beheaded. And when he saw it pleased the Jews, he put Peter in prison, intending to bring him forth the next day. But that night, as Peter was asleep there in prison, the angel of the Lord came to him and said, wake up, Peter, tie your shoes on and follow me. And so Peter tied on his sandals and followed the angel, and the doors all began to open automatically of their own accord. And the angel led Peter right out of the prison. When they were out in the street, the angel disappeared, and Peter looked around him. Man, I'm not dreaming. Wow, I thought it was a dream. Not, I'm free, all right, you know. And he headed off for the house where the Christians were praying. But he thought that it was just a dream. In reality, it was a vision. He saw the angel, but through it, the angel led him out of prison. And so God can speak to people through visions. I have had insights, visions, where you see something in your mind and it turns out to be a reality and of the Lord. And visions are a way by which God can speak to people. God has spoken to people through angels. The word angel means messenger. And so God has used angels to bring his message to men in many cases. In the Old Testament, there are so many places where the angels visited and told men the things of God. The angels came to Abraham, told him they were going down to Sodom to destroy it. The angels later came to Sodom and came to the house of Lot, and they said to Lot, get out of this place. This is rotten. We're going to destroy this place. And they ordered Lot out of the city. The angels came to Manoah and his wife and told him that they were to have a son there, and he was to be a Nazarite unto the Lord. And so they foretold the birth of Samson. The angel of the Lord came to Daniel on a couple of different occasions and gave Daniel insight into the future of the nation Israel. The angel Gabriel told Daniel concerning the coming of the Messiah. Later, 525 years later, the angel Gabriel appeared unto Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, told him of the birth of John the Baptist. Later, he appeared to Mary and told her that she would be the instrument through which the Messiah would be born. We find that angels in the tribulation period are going to be bearing the everlasting gospel to people all over the world. He saw an angel in chapter 14 flying through the midst of heaven with the everlasting gospel. So God has used angels. In fact, the book of Revelation itself came to John by the media of an angel. It was the revelation of Jesus Christ which God revealed to him, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. And remember when Paul was on that boat and for 14 days they were being tossed in that storm in the Mediterranean. They had not seen the light of the sun or the stars at night, and they had all despaired of ever surviving. We've had it, it's over. You know, and they were all discouraged and had given up. And Paul stood up in the morning of the 14th day and he said, "Be of good cheer, men." And I imagine they wanted to throw him overboard at that point. But he said, "Last night an angel of the Lord stood by me and assured me that even though the boat is going to sink, it'll be lost, there won't be a loss of a single soul." And so the angel stood by Paul, encouraging him. So God speaks through angels. But then God speaks also through a still small voice. Now you remember Elijah had fled from Jezebel down into the wilderness area of Sinai. And there the word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" As he was hiding in a cave. And he said, "Oh, I've been zealous for God, and now that Jezebel's after my head and I'm fleeing from Jezebel." The Lord said, "Get out in the mouth of the cave. I'm going to speak to you there. Stand out there." And so he stood at the mouth of the entrance to the cave, and a fire came sweeping by, but God wasn't in the fire. Then a wind, a fierce wind, the rocks began to crack. God wasn't in the wind. Then an earthquake, the rocks rolling down the hill. God wasn't in an earthquake. And then there came a still small voice, and God was in the still small voice. So often God speaks to us by that still small voice within our hearts. An impulse, an idea, a desire, a thought. And it is actually God speaking to my heart. In the previous chapter here, 31 of Jeremiah, he said, "I will make a new covenant with them," God is speaking, and he said, "No longer will I write my law upon the tables of stone, but upon the fleshly tablets of their heart." In other words, God will speak to us by putting his desire right into our hearts. And how many times has God spoken? In fact, daily God speaks to me. This morning God spoke to me. And he speaks to me daily by this still small voice within. As he places upon my mind a thought, an inspiration, an idea, a concept. And it's God speaking to me. But I have a problem. When that thought or inspiration, idea, desire comes, I don't always know what the source is. Is this out of my own mind, or is this from God? You remember when Jesus was at Caesarea Philippi with his disciples, and he said, "Who do they say that I am?" And they said, "Well, I heard someone say you're Elijah. I heard someone say you were John the Baptist. I heard someone say you're that other prophet." Jesus said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "Well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon. Flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that you are Peter, Now, wait a minute, Peter, you've had a spiritual revelation. This just didn't snap out of your own mind. God revealed this to you. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this. This is a revelation from God. Peter looks around, hey, fellas, you hear that? Tuned in. God's speaking to me. And Jesus began to tell his disciples how that he was to be betrayed and turned over into the hands of the sinful men and be crucified, but the third day rise again. And Peter began to rebuke him and said, oh, Lord, be that far from thee. Spare thyself. And Jesus turned and said, get thee behind me, Satan. You are an offense, or you offend me, because you can't tell the difference between what is of God and what is of man. Well, move over, Peter, because I'm in the same boat. I can't always tell when it is God speaking to me or something out of my own heart. You see, the problem is that when God speaks to me, he speaks to my spirit. His spirit bears witness with my spirit of a particular truth. His spirit plants on my spirit a thought or an idea. Now, my spirit communicates that thought to my conscious level. As it communicates that thought to my conscious level, it comes into my consciousness just as my own ideas and thoughts come into my consciousness. My own imagination coming into my conscious level. And thus, inasmuch as it just comes into the conscious level as a thought, an idea, an inspiration, my problem is then of filtering out, is this thought from my own heart, or is this thought planted there by God? Is God speaking to me and leading me to do this particular thing, or is this just something that I'm desiring to do and it's just being, you know, flashed in my mind as a thought because I would like to do this or I want to do this? This desire that I have, is this desire God writing his law upon my heart, or does this desire just spring from my own flesh? And to understand what is of God and what is not of God is oftentimes a very difficult thing for me. Now, when the thought came into Jeremiah's mind, the Lord spoke to Jeremiah saying, Hanamel, your cousin, is going to come and ask you to buy the field of Shalom, your uncle's, because the right of redemption is yours. So buy the field that belongs to him. Jeremiah, in his thinking about this, thought, well, now that's ridiculous. Why should I redeem that? You know, it's already taken. The next day, when his cousin Hanamel comes in and says, hey, my dad sent me down here to ask you to redeem his field because the right of redemption is yours and all. Then he said, I knew it was the word of the Lord that came to me saying, buy the field. In other words, there came a confirmation to him of that which was placed upon his thought, or that which was placed upon his heart. There came the confirmation, and then he knew it was the Lord. So there are many times when I am not certain if it is God speaking to me or not. Now, let me say this. There are also many, many times when there is no question at all. I know it's God speaking to me. I have no doubt, no question. It's just, you know, the Lord is speaking to me, and I know it's the Lord speaking to me, and there's not a question, not one little scintilla of a doubt that it is God that is speaking to me. But then there are other times when I'm not sure. Now, when I am not sure, I do not act hastily upon it, but I pray and ask God to give me confirmation. Lord, if this thought is of you, if this desire is from you, then Lord, confirm it. Bring confirmation. And so often, as I am seeking for the Lord to confirm a thought or an idea, as I turn to the Word of God, God will there confirm that is either of him or not of him. God will reveal that that's just a part of my old flesh, and I'm just looking for some kind of acknowledgement or recognition for myself. Or on other occasions, God will just open up the word and I'll see it right there, and God will use the word to really confirm that which he has spoken to my heart. God so often will confirm his word to me from a friend or an associate. God has used my wife many times to confirm his word that he has spoken to my own heart. And so someone will come up and they'll say something to you which is just so in line with that which God has been laying upon your heart. It comes to you, and then you know it was the word of the Lord that was saying to do this particular thing, or to respond or to react or to desire this particular thing. Now, God is very patient in dealing with us, and God understands our frame. He knows we're but dust. And he knows the doubts that we have. And if there are sincere doubts in my mind as to whether or not an issue is really of God or of myself, God is very gracious in dealing with me. If I'll just wait upon him, he will either confirm the truth to my heart or show me where it is not from him. It's always exciting to hear the voice of God, no matter how God chooses to speak. And I am convinced that every one of you have, at some time in your life, heard the voice of God. Have you ever done anything that was really wrong and suddenly you felt, oh, that's terrible, I should not have done that? That was God speaking to you. If a second voice came along and said, well, you had a right to do it, everybody does it, doesn't make any difference, then you've also had Satan speak to you too. That inner voice of God guiding, directing, leading us in his path. Oh, may God speak to us today, and may our hearts be open to receive. Jesus prayed or said over and over as he was talking to the church, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Oh, God, give us ears to hear what you would say to us today, that you might guide our lives in your way of truth and righteousness. In Jesus' name, shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your concern with us and for us. And Lord, we don't want to be ignorant of thy will. We do ask you, Lord, to speak to us by whatever means or method. But Lord, we realize you are speaking. You've been speaking. Oh, God, help us to tune in that we might hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you believe me if I told you that there's all kinds of different music in the air right around you right now? Acid rock, jazz, symphonic, choirs. There are all kinds of pictures in the air around you right now. All you have to have is a receiving set tuned into the right frequency, and you could hear the music, the voices, or you could see the sights. They're here. You're just not tuned in. God speaks. We're not always tuned in. The voice of the Lord has gone forth, but we're not always tuned into it. May God help us to tune in. that we might hear his voice, that we might follow the leading of his Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And God will lead your life by his Spirit. God will lead you into that full, rich life that he wants you to know in Christ Jesus. God is speaking to some of you today saying, hey, the time has come to get right with God. The time has come to forsake your sin and to turn your life over to Jesus Christ. I would encourage you to obey the voice of God. Go back to the prayer room and meet with the pastors back there. Let them pray with you this morning. God is speaking to others of you of a commitment. He is pointing out areas of your life that have not been brought to the cross. Areas where the flesh is still dominating. Oh God, help us to hear. Oh God, help us to respond. Oh God, help us to obey. May the Lord be with you and guide and direct and keep your life in Christ Jesus. And may your heart be open that you might hear and that you might respond to the things of the Spirit this week, in Jesus' name.